Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is God's word. "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Now, God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit. Since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God, for who knows a person's thoughts except his Spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit, because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, and yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he is addressing a series of problems that are crippling this church. And the first problem that he has to address is the divisions among them. As we said last time, starting in chapter 1 and running through chapter 4, he is addressing the problem of these divisions within the body. But at the heart of that problem, the reason why they're having all these problems is a striking lack of maturity on the part of the believers. And this will be addressed all through the letter. Paul's going to remind them that it isn't enough just to be born again. You need to grow up into the full stature of Christ. So Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he has to address this series of problems, And as he deals with the issue of divisions within the church, he talks about the need to grow up into maturity. And in doing so, he's going to do that in a couple of chapters, but in doing that, in this passage, he says, I want you to understand when I came to you, I deliberately kept it simple. Okay? He says, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I remember when I was a teenager and wanting to drop out of high school just to go on the road and preach till Jesus comes. My father graciously instructed me in the fact that for a fellow in his teens, I was a remarkable preacher. But that when I was 30, it wouldn't be impressive at all. He said, it's rather like a talking dog. Everybody's sort of startled, but nobody really wants to have a conversation. I love my father's gift for analogies. But he was so right. And the reason was, I knew the gospel. I could present the gospel. But that was about as far as it went. Okay? Now let me tell you, there are a ton of people who've been in church for years and they still haven't understood the gospel. And they desperately need to be presented with the gospel. My uncle, who was a lifelong member of another denomination that shall remain nameless, let's just say it was a mainline denomination with a long, strong history. But he had been a part of that denomination. He'd been educated in their college, in their seminary, and he had been ordained to the ministry in that denomination, and he had served for years in that denomination. And as he got older, I asked him about a particular sermon that he and I had both heard together. And he said, well, I would say it was very good for a blank, and that's his denomination, sermon. He said, the problem with our churches is we spend a lot of time telling people how they ought to behave as Christians, but we never bother to tell them how to become a Christian. Now, that's not true of all the churches in that denomination, but it was true of a lot of churches, and it still is today. There are places where you'll be encouraged to live the fruit of the Spirit, which is utterly impossible if the Holy Spirit doesn't live in you. You'll be encouraged to treat other people well and love one another. But apart from the Spirit of Christ, you can't do it. You have to be born again. Jesus said so. There are a lot of folks who grew up in the church and think, you know, I'm a Christian because I grew up in the church. I was baptized at a time I can't remember, but I know it happened, and that made me part of the family, and I've been nurtured and discipled and encouraged. But have you ever come to that point in your life where you are so keenly aware of your own sin that you dread the wrath of God, and you cry out to him for mercy and find in Christ Jesus the only hope, which at last brings peace to your heart? Does that mean you have to remember the moment of your conversion? No. But when you're asked about your hope, is it in Jesus or is it in your upbringing? Is it in what you were taught and what you learned and where you went? What's your testimony? Paul says, when I came to you, announcing the mystery of God to you, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Please understand, that's not all Paul knew. It's not all Paul taught, but it's what the Corinthians needed to hear. And so he said, I decided among you that this was all we're going to deal with. He says, I preached the gospel to you, Jesus Christ and him crucified. In chapter 15 of this very letter, he's going to say, I want to remind you of the gospel, which you believe and on which you've taken your stand. This is the gospel by which you're saved if you hold true to it. And what is the gospel? According to God's word, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. It's all about Jesus and what he did at the cross and his victory over death. If you don't have that, you've totally missed it.
Psalm 145 says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. Have you heard about Legacy 145? This program gives you an opportunity to provide a safe haven for future generations of children at Ware's Valley Ranch. While at the ranch, children from all across the country have their practical needs met. But most importantly, they hear about a Heavenly Father who loves them so much that he sent his only Son to die on the cross to pay for their sins. Healing and hope are found at the ranch through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your legacy can continue that message to children in crisis. You can learn more at wvr.org and click on the icon that says Legacy 145. Or you can give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE. God bless you and have a great day.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
D. James Kennedy, the great Presbyterian preacher who's now in heaven, taught a course called Evangelism Explosion, in which they use two diagnostic questions to try and discern where a person is spiritually so that you can share the gospel appropriately. And the first question is, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? I talk about these questions from time to time because they're wonderfully useful. Now, some people say yes, some people say no. But the second question really puts the point on it. And that is, if you were to die right now, and God said to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? You see, that's the real issue. Where's your hope? What's the basis of your trust? And most people will answer, I've tried hard to live a good life. I know I've made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. But, you know, I try to do the right thing and da-da-da-da-da, and I've never killed anybody. And I've told you before, I get nervous when people don't say that. All right? But here's the thing. The reason Paul resolved when he came to Corinth that he would just focus on Jesus Christ and him crucified is because that's our only hope. That's our only hope. That's our only hope. If you miss that, you've missed it all. It doesn't matter what kind of edifice you build. It will collapse. Our only hope is Jesus. It is not what we have done for him. It is what he has done for us. Matthew 7, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do this in your name? And he says, I'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. If your hope is in what you have done for him, then you need to be born again. But if by God's grace you have come to the point in your life where you realize, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. He's the only one who can save me. And you put your trust in him, then you are my brother. You are my sister. For me, it was early in life. And I'm grateful that I can remember it. But what I realized was that even though intellectually I had believed that prior to the moment when I gave my life to Christ, I had believed it, but I'd never done anything about it. I told you recently about a relative of mine who had all these uncashed checks. They were promises that were good, but benefited him not one bit because he never acted on it. Have you acted on God's promises? Have you transferred your trust from yourself to him? Have you asked him to save you? If you know you need saving and you know he's the Savior, have you talked with him about it? Have you said, have mercy on me, Lord? For me, it was a wake-up call. I was in the room all by myself, startled awake by the realization I had never acted on the gospel. And I prayed and I asked him to save me. And the reason I know he did is because a bright light came into the room. And no, nothing like that. It's because suddenly peace swept over me and I tingled all over. No. The reason I know he saved me is because he promised he would do it. And he keeps his promises. It's not about what I see with my eyes. It's not about what I feel with my senses. It's about what God says in his word. He promises whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And he keeps his promises. He's not a liar. So my life was changed by his grace. And I trust him. To this moment, I trust him. Because he's trustworthy. So when the Apostle Paul says, I came to you not with words of eloquence, I was actually nervous. I was trembling. I was weak. But God displayed his power so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Folks, that is what we desperately need in every area of our lives. It's not better marketing. It's obedience to God, which is the context in which he displays his power. And so Paul says, we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature. Remember what we said earlier in the message? The goal is maturity, but there are some things you're not ready to digest until you get a little older, a little more mature. If you look at the New Testament church, you find that God's timetable for maturity is a lot faster than most churches. Amen? I mean, there were people, he says, you know, the folks who are ordained for to be elders ought to be spiritually mature. But there were people who were spiritually mature and ready to be in that kind of a position of leadership after just a few years in the faith. I remember on Cape Cod when God began causing a number of men to get saved in our church, and I needed some leaders, and we didn't have anybody with that background, so we had to grow them up, okay? Had to raise them up. But let me tell you, if a person is really alive in Christ, they're eager for spiritual food, they want to grow, they want to learn, they want to obey the Lord. They want to exercise spiritual gifts that God has given them. And it was a beautiful thing to see the growing maturity of people who'd been recently saved and who grew to the point where they were able to disciple others. Occasionally, they'd call on the pastor to come in and do some heavy lifting. But basically, they were being equipped for the work of God. That's what needs to be happening in all our lives. So we do speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. That sort of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? The wisdom of the rulers of this age, they're coming to nothing. It's not going to amount to anything. It's like an ice sculpture. Aren't they amazing? Just so beautiful. And then they melt. And they're gone. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. How wonderful. Because God's intention is for us to share in his glory. We are his body. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, because if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Most of us stop right there. The next verse says, now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. In other words, we are increasingly glimpsing and learning the glorious things that God has prepared for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the way that we know them is by the work of his Spirit who lives within us. The Spirit who lives in us is the Spirit of God who knows the depths of God. He knows the stuff that we could never learn on our own. The Spirit who comes from God, not the spirit of the world, is the one we've received, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. God's Spirit does miracles within the body. But one of the main reasons God has given us his Spirit is so that more and more and more we would know how rich we are and what things matter and what things last and what things we can count on and what things amount to nothing. Because if we aren't careful, we will get conformed to the pattern of this world and start cherishing the stuff that doesn't last and not treasuring that which God has done for us to make us one with him. And so, he says, we not only have wisdom that we share, but we speak it in a way that the world doesn't understand. If you're trying to do evangelism, you have to speak in a way that people can understand. But if you want people to grow up in the Spirit, they've got to learn the language. There are things that God says in his word, and sadly, one of the things that's happening right now in many churches is they have dumbed everything down so far, trying not to put anybody off, that you can be in church 10 years and not only not hear the word repent, but have no clue what it means. Not only not hear the word justification, but have no clue what it means. Not only not hear the word sanctification, but have no clue what it means. Because the messages are just designed to try and make everybody feel happy and good about themselves. Okay? If we can improve your self-image, we have done our job. No. I want to encourage you. I want to plead with you to trust Jesus, to get to know him, to depend upon him. Because if you will do that, he will, by his Spirit who comes to live inside of you, as you feed upon his word, he will teach you. The person without the Spirit doesn't receive what comes from God's Spirit because it's foolishness to him. He's not able to understand it since it's evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. And yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Did you hear that? This is written to believers. We have the mind of Christ. Jesus isn't just for some of us. He offers his life to you. He says, come. If you're weary, carrying your own load, take his yoke on you. Learn from him. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I plead with you. Come to him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.